Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center. Come check us out.
So the title of my message this morning is, Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 to 24 as kind of the summary verse of that whole chapter 3 of Romans. So, have you heard the quotation? Have you heard the phrase? Have you heard that said, Houston, we have a problem? Have you heard that before?
Yes,
you have. Yeah. Well, that's actually an erroneous quotation because Houston, we have a problem is not what was actually quoted. I'll explain that. This quotation was erroneous, but it was a radio communication between the Apollo 13 astronauts, a guy named Jack Swigert, and NASA Mission Control, which is Houston. And this was during the Apollo 13 space flight, and that was back in April 13th, 1970. And they said that when they discovered there was an explosion on that aircraft. But the actual original quote was this, Houston, we've had a problem here. And then repeated, Houston, we've had a problem. So they said it kind of in past tense. But that space flight was originally supposed to be a lunar landing going to the moon. And about 56 hours into the flight, there was an explosion. And what happened was the some kind of generating system that generated oxygen in that aircraft was exploded and wasn't functioning. So the aircraft, the astronauts had to have a way, fix it, get a way to fix this system so they could get a supply of oxygen into the spacecraft. Because if they didn't do that, they would have died from suffocation. So what's interesting about that is there was a movie made called Apollo 13 about that.
Tom Hanks,
somebody just mentioned. And there's also online an audio clip, and I encourage you to listen to it. It's about 10 minutes. It's very cool. It talks about what's happened. So the astronauts discovered a problem, and they remedied the problem, and they returned to Earth, and their mission was aborted. So Houston, we had a problem. They solved their problem, and they ended up coming back to Earth safe. But I see the same statement about Houston, we have a problem, is the same kind of statement we as men make as well, because we should say, we have a problem. And what this is man's problem is a spiritual problem. Because we're born into this world spiritually dead in search of spiritual life. I said it several times over the past several weeks. Man is looking for spiritual life in a physical world. And that's the issue. That's the problem. Man is spiritually dead and in search of spiritual life. Now, there's a lot of consequences of being spiritually dead. One is eternally separated from God. That's big. But there's another one. And that this spiritual deadness gives us no option but to be in bondage to sin. No other option but to sin. There's no way to break the power of sin in our life, in ourself. And man tries to manipulate, adjust the flesh for behavior, but they can't do that. Because the only thing that could change man's behavior and change the propensity to sin is spiritual, and that is having spiritual life. Self-effort will never break the power of sin in a man's life. And we even talked about this. Actually, we went to St. Gennaro Festival yesterday, me and my wife in Manalpin, and we met a woman who was a counselor there, actually. And she said the same thing. All the counselees that come into that facility, she knows the problem is spiritual. She can't help them unless she called it some spiritual event, God thing. I call it a revelation download that you need Jesus Christ. Amen. But that's the problem man has. Okay, Houston, we have a problem. Man is spiritually dead. And that deadness has a lot of consequences in life that we experience today. But you know, on that aircraft, when that explosion occurred, you can listen to the audio. There was lights flashing. There were little indications that they knew something was wrong. And they were trying to adjust, all the big adjustments to fix it. And it wasn't working. So these lights diagnosed the problem. But today, how do we diagnose our problem? How do we see our need? How do we know that we're spiritually dead and that we know something is wrong? And I got to tell you, that spiritual light, I tell you, is our emotions, guys. Mm-hmm. It's what we feel. It's what we're feeling about when we believe being truth or not. Many of us have negative emotions. We have frustration, we have anger, we have depression, we have sadness, we have loneliness, we have emptiness. These are all a result of spiritual deadness. Amen. It's all a result of not having spiritual life, because only Jesus Christ, as we'll get to the message, gives us spiritual life. You know, there's no way to break the sin cycle in man except for a spiritual way, and that's through Christ, which we'll get to. There's a sin cycle, and there's a new way to live life. You know what? These astronauts saw the problem, they fixed it, and returned to Earth. Now, God has a fix, too. God has a remedy to our problem. We're going to look at that today. We're going to look at this in Romans chapter 3. Now, we're going to discover man's problem, and we're going to discover God's diagnostic tool, which we'll tell you what that is, and God's remedy to the problem. And we're going to look at three stages of faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and this new spiritual life. And these are going to be the 3 points today. And the three stages are man understanding his problem, which is Romans 3, 9 to 18. God's diagnostic tool directing man to the answer to his problem, which is Romans 3, 19 to 20. And then God's solution to man's problem, which is Romans 3, 21 to 31. So I'm going to read now Romans 3, 23 to 24. In the NAS version, and we're going to open the service in prayer. So let's read it, and we can open in prayer. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures, for the book of Romans, and that you give us the fix. You give us the answer to our spiritual deadness, and that is an offer of spiritual life. And as we look at the scripture today, Lord, I pray that we touch hearts, open minds, and then direct men to hear this message, to understand that their self-righteousness is never good enough, never perfect enough for God. There's another way, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that many would come to know you through this message and see their need for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is the gospel? We talked about this a couple times over the past couple of meetings we've had. The gospel, the simplest explanation of the gospel in the scripture is 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4, which says, "For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." The gospel is basically this: Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, Christ was risen. When we believe that, we have spiritual life by faith. This gospel is God's offer of spiritual life to the world that is dead in their sins. A couple weeks ago, we looked at Romans 1, 16 and 17. Remember the verse? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It talks about the gospel. That's a key verse. Then last week, we talked about Romans 2, 4. Where it said, "For don't you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance." You know what leads us to repentance? Repentance is a change of mind. God's grace, God's goodness gives us a change of mind. It's not manipulation. It's not guilt, motivation. It's him. Okay. We looked at this. We looked at the gospel. We looked at Romans 1 all the way through to end of chapter 2. And what do we see so far? Paul introduced himself to the Romans, right? He never visited there. He said, I'm writing to the saints. We discovered that there were both Jewish believers and Gentile believers. We saw, talks about the gospel. We talked about in end of chapter 1 that man is in looking and searching to meet the need, core needs that were in the garden: love, acceptance, value, worth, and security. They're not found in any other thing but Jesus Christ. But God allows you to search that so you can see there's emptiness there. We looked at chapter 2 again last week, and They talked about being judgmental. Remember the moralistic Jew and Gentile judging the people, judging the sins of the folks in chapter 1 of Romans, end of chapter 1. And we said, you know what? Why not judge? We commit the same sins, right? Most of us, right? We shouldn't judge them into the kingdom. We should love them into the kingdom because they need Jesus Christ. Amen? So we got chapter 3 now. And you can read it on your own. I'm not going to go through chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, but you read it on your own. But in summary, what that's saying here is God is faithful and God is righteous. Now, I want to take you to verse 9. But before, again, we get to that, the key verse circled in your Bible is Romans 3, 23 to 24, which the key verse for this section is, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." So we get to chapter 3, verse 9 to 18. Paul is describing man's problem. He's describing man's condition. He's going through and saying, you know what? We have already charged that both Jew and Greek are all under sin. Okay? What does Paul mean that all are under sin? What he's saying is that all are spiritually dead or are under a condition of spiritual deadness. Now, when we are born into this world, brothers and sisters, we don't have to make any decision to become spiritually dead. It wasn't somebody said, make this decision, this is you. No, you are born that way from the sin of Adam. I've talked about this for weeks, on the last several weeks. In the garden, the first sin, what happened? He sinned. God took away spiritual life from Adam and Eve. We are descendants of Adam and Eve. We are in Adam, in a sense, and all have sinned. We all are born into this world spiritually dead. But Paul now gives us all, in all these verses, 9 to 18, descriptions of how that plays out, how that manifests itself, the conditions of man's spiritual deadness. And he says, one starts off in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Now, what is Paul saying there? There is none righteous, not even one. None, nobody. Righteousness, this word righteous, we need to know, means perfect morality and justice. And we know God is the only one who is righteous. But you know, Paul is saying, compared to God, man is not righteous. But man has a moral system in this world to compare and create morality. But compared to God, who is perfectly righteous, okay, who is perfectly just, man falls short. Man falls short of God's righteousness. So Paul is saying, none is righteous, no, not one. Verse 10 of chapter 3. Then he goes on in verse 11. End of verse 11, says, "There is none who seeks after God." There is none who seeks. But I can say this, brothers and sisters, man is seeking, and they're seeking for things as a substitute for God. They're seeking, they don't know what they're seeking. The point here Paul is making is there are none who seeks him, okay, unless they really, sincerely want to know him. I talked about that last 2 weeks ago. In the God will bring the message of the gospel to somebody who really seeks them. But you know what? Man in general doesn't seek after God. Okay? They seek after other things as a substitute for God. They need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and need to know where to get that spiritual life because it's in no other thing but him. Amen? Verse 12, the end of that verse, end of it, it says, "There is none who does good." There's not even one. Man is all about good deeds, right? Man is all about performing and doing well. But compared to God, who is the ultimate God, goodness and good, you don't compare. There's none that does good compared to God. Amen? Verses 13 to 18 is a summary. All the sins of folks, Paul writes. Things like, with their tongue they deceive. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They shed blood. Okay, it says, they don't know the path of peace. They don't fear the consequence of sin. They don't fear the consequence of God's justice. This, unfortunately, is man's spiritual condition from birth. Spiritual deadness manifests itself in a lot of ways, but spiritual deadness manifests itself in many types of sins, brothers and sisters. You know what? Sin, deadness, sin, spiritual deadness traps man in the sin cycle. There is no way to escape the cycle of addiction and sin unless there's something spiritual, and that's spiritual life. Amen. Even the woman we talked to yesterday in that little San Gennaro Festival, woman out by the fire station, when she said, we help people, and I said, how do you do it? And she said, I direct them to Jesus, I direct them to Jesus. And then we said, well, that's right. And then she said, that's what we teach in this church. And she started to cry. She had tears in her eyes because that's not what the secular world says. The secular world says condition the flesh, condition the behavior. No, the answer is spiritual deadness. The answer to it is becoming spiritually alive. You know what? She saw that, and hopefully she visits here. Amen. But we try to rationalize our sin, right? We look at the world around us and we say, you know what? I'm not as bad as that guy. I'm not as bad as this girl. I'm not as bad as that person. My sin isn't as bad as them. I didn't do as much as them. But compared to God's standard of righteousness, you can never, never measure up and you fall short. That's the point Paul is making in these verses. Man falls short of God's righteousness. We try to live morally, but we can't. We still fall short. We have no spiritual power to overcome sin. We can't rationalize our sin, brothers and sisters, because you know what? We never measure up to God's standard. Man's problem is spiritual deadness. Amen? You can never be as righteous as God. But some try. So God put into place this thing called the law. This thing called the law. And I'm saying the law is God's diagnostic tool. And I'll explain that. That's my next point. Right? God's diagnostic tool directs men to the answer to man's problem. This is Romans 3, 19 to 20. Now, what I'm going to do is here, I'm going to read from the NAS version, and I'm going to compare it to the God's Word version, so you can see that it actually shows you, it complements it, and explains it a little bit better. So I'll read the NAS version first. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Now I'm going to read the God's Word version, which puts a little more color into it. It says this. We know that whatever is in Moses' teaching applies to everyone under their influence, and no one can say a thing. The whole world is brought under the judgment of God. Not one person can have God's approval by following Moses' teaching. Moses' teaching shows us what sin is. Brothers and sisters, the law is Moses' teaching. And because of the law, the world is accountable to God. The whole world is brought under judgment of God. Amen. Now, what is the law? A lot of confusion about this. What is the law? Well, I looked it up, and I'm going to explain it to you this morning. The law was God's instruction to the nation Israel concerning, there's different aspects of the law. There's moral, social, and spiritual behaviors in the law. The law includes the Ten Commandments. We see it in Exodus 20. The law also includes 613 commandments called the mitzvahs. And those are do's and don'ts. Okay? I looked at this. There are 248 do's and there are 365 don'ts. Now, that's a standard. That's God's standard to say, you want to be righteous, you hold this standard. You hold to this law. Okay? Now, there is some confusion to say, well, the law was given to Israel, right? And it was. But guess what? The law was also written on the Gentiles' hearts, okay? The law was also applied to a non-Jew. I'll get to that. I'll show you that in a second, okay? Because they attempt to do the same things Moses' law taught because God put the law on their hearts. And that's back in Romans 2, chapter 14 to 15. It says, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, and that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences bearing witness, and their thoughts ultimately accusing or else defending them. You know, the law is written on our hearts. We know, brothers and sisters, murder is wrong, right? I don't need the law to tell you murder is wrong. We know it's wrong. We know stealing is wrong. It's written on the heart, okay? So there's no excuse. Jew and Gentile are going to be judged by the law. Okay? The whole world is accountable to God by trying to keep the law prior to salvation. Amen? Prior to receiving Christ. Now, this law, which I also call, you could also call the Old Covenant, okay? Or the Old Covenant law, okay? Of trying to keep a standard. There is a lot of confusion. I say it a lot when I preach, guys, that as a new believer in Jesus Christ, the church age, after Christ's resurrection, he ushered in the new covenant. We are not under law. We are under grace, okay? Because law is a performance-based system. God installed the law to teach us that basically will show you can't keep it, okay? It's a moral standard. It's no longer required as a new believer in Jesus Christ, amen? James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles in one point, has become guilty of all." And I'm going to ask you this morning, the 10th commandment says, if you covet, right? If you've coveted, you've broken a law. If you've ever coveted in your life, you have broken one law, and yet stumbled at one point, one thing, you become guilty of all. You can never measure up. You guys see that? Now, Paul goes on to say, verse 20, what is the purpose of the law here? He says, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And I'll read the God's Word version. It says, not one person can have God's approval by following Moses' teaching. Moses' teaching shows us what sin is. What is Paul saying here? The law, works of the flesh, will never make us approved, righteous, or justified, or be made right in God's eyes. Amen? You see that? No law, no Moses' teaching will do that. It just shows us what sin is and points us to another way, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Nobody has kept the law perfectly except Jesus Christ. He's the only one who kept it perfectly. But you know what? The law is this. The law is God's diagnostic tool. The law is like, my analogy is going to say, it's like an x-ray, or it's like an MRI. If you have a broken bone, or if you have this, I heard about a lot of people having heart attacks lately. No, a couple. You know, you need a stent. They bring you into the emergency room. They check you. They put in your veins, and they check you in an x-ray. They say you have a clot, right? The x-ray or the MRI diagnoses the problem, okay? But that's like the law, but it doesn't solve the problem. A person needs a stent. The person needs some kind of medication. You know what? The law points us to man's spiritual deadness problem by highlighting his unrighteousness, his sin problem, and his need for spiritual life. Amen? Man needs a way to be made right. Man, Houston, I have a problem. Man needs a way to be approved and justified by God. What is the way? What is the way? Point three. God's solution to man's problem is in Romans 3:21-31. And when you study the scriptures and you see a word, a key word, over and over again in a bunch of scriptures, that means that's a point that Paul or the writer wants to get across. If you read these 10 verses, there's a word there used 8 times. Can anybody guess what that word is? Faith. Absolutely, faith. 8 times. In verse 3:22, circle it. In verse 3:25, circle it. In verse 3:26, circle it. In verse 3:27, circle it. In verse 3:28, circle it. In verse 3:30, twice. In verse 3:31, you know what? Circle the word faith. Now, what is faith? What is faith? He said, something's important about this passage when he talks about faith. Faith is trust. Faith is belief, and faith is dependence. Amen? That's what it is. Faith is trust, faith is belief, and faith is dependence. But what in? Romans 3:22 and 3:26 explains it. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. There's no distinction. Verse 3:26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What does faith in Jesus mean? Does that mean I just believe he existed? Does that just believe, I believe he was a good teacher? That belief, what, is that some belief in he roamed the earth? No, it's the belief that he was the Messiah, that he is the Savior, that he went to the cross and died for your sins and was risen. And when you have a belief in that, that means you become spiritually alive. Amen? It's faith in Christ's death, burial, and the resurrection for the forgiveness of your sin. That's what he's talking about. And when you do that, you're righteous.
Amen.
You are made right. Remember they said you were not right back in 3:10? Now you were made righteous. You were made approved by faith in him, by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 5:15, 3-4. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected. When we believe that, we are instantaneously become spiritual alive. And this word is we're approved. We're righteous. We're made right. We're justified. The works of the law, well, back to one of those verses back in 3, can never make a man right with God. It's by faith. It's by faith. Faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. Man can't work his way into righteousness. He tries to work his way. It's only obtained by faith. Romans 3:28 says, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. How many people do we know today are working to be accepted? You know, I call it I'm a good person theology. Brothers and sisters, good person theology is not in the Bible. Good person theology is not in the scriptures. It's not how what you do, it's about who you are. Amen. Are you spiritually alive or are you spiritually dead? If you're spiritually dead, you can work and work and work and work. It doesn't make you approved by God, justified by God, or give you spiritual life. Amen? Why are we working for righteousness? Now, here's another warning to a Christian. We know from that scripture that we are righteous in Christ when we believe. Amen? Mm-hmm. Why, as a Christian, do we still think we have to work for righteousness with something that we already have? Think about that. Mm-hmm. We are already righteous. We don't have to work for righteousness. That's a trap. That's the devil's trap to keep the church and keep us stagnant and basically spiritually stagnant, right? And not let ourselves move forward in the Christian life. That's his ploy. Keep working. Keep trying. You're not righteous. You're never good enough. Scripture doesn't say that. By faith, you're righteous in Jesus Christ. Amen? It says, we maintain man is justified, right, approved by faith apart from works of the law. Amen? And this opportunity and this offer is to all. Romans 3:30, God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith, meaning the Jewish nation, Jewish heritage people, and those who are uncircumcised, meaning the Gentile. They all indeed can be justified by this faith. It's an offer to all. It says the same thing back in 3:24. It says, being justified as a gift, by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's part of my second verse from my opening. Being justified as a gift. You know, this thing is a gift, guys. Salvation is a gift. Spiritual life is a gift. Spiritual life is an offer to you. Do you want it or do you not want it? Do you reject it? Do you receive it? That's what it is. It's an offer of spiritual life. That is the issue today. That is Houston. We have a problem. Man is spiritually dead. The answer is spiritual life. That overcomes all things. Overcomes sin. Amen? Mm-hmm. The sin cycle. All these, I think about the news. Shootings, murders, rapes, all this stuff. You know what solves that? It's a spiritual problem. Jesus Christ solves that when he comes into somebody's heart and he changes them from the inside. Okay? External behavior, all these things can't change you. Something spiritual needs to happen. God needs to take over your heart. Change it from the inside. You can't change behavior from the external. It's from the internal. Amen? That's what Paul's saying here. Do you receive him or do you reject him? Amen? You know what? 1-3, chapters 1-3. What have we seen so far in Romans? You know, God, the gospel, God has revealed the creation. Man is searching to get his needs met, only found in Jesus Christ. And you know what? God installed the law as a diagnostic tool to tell you no matter how well you think you're doing, if you have a good works mentality, a good person theology, no matter how good you are not in comparison to God, who's perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. You'll never measure up. There's got to be another way. And that way, brothers and sisters, is by faith, which we just said, in Christ, in the gospel. You know what? The search ends with Jesus Christ. Stop searching. Stop searching. The answer is Jesus Christ. Amen? So for those who say, Christians now, that we still need to keep the law, I want you to look at verse 31, chapter 3. It says, we do not nullify the law through faith. May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. What is that saying? That saying is the law has a purpose, brothers and sisters, and that purpose is to lead you to the Savior. The law is to show you you are not righteous. The law is to show you you need something else for spiritual life. The law points you to Jesus Christ. Do you guys see that?
Amen.
Do you see that this morning? Okay? As a Christian who knows Christ, who is already righteous, that law is no longer required. It did its purpose. So it says we establish the law. It's saying that the law has a purpose, and that is to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Amen? So what's the conclusion today? Houston, we have a problem. Right?
Christ.
Houston, we have a problem. What's the answer?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer. Brothers and sisters, it is so sad to see so many people struggling, so many people hurting, so many people in depression, trying so many things, trying so many avenues of antidepressants, all the drugs, alcohol, addiction, affairs, thinking it's in a person. Brothers and sisters, it's Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ. He's a new way to live, amen? He is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, amen? Nobody comes to the Father except through him. But you know, Paul lays it out beautifully in Romans here. You know, a man has a problem. He shows that, right? I'm not righteous. He says, you think you're so righteous, you know what? How do you measure up to the law? Can you keep it? You can't keep it. He's saying, you need another way. You can't keep the do's and don'ts, okay? If you missed one, you're guilty of all. Man's solution is faith in Christ. God's solution to man's problem is faith in Jesus Christ. So what, brothers and sisters, here today, you know what? Your search ends with Jesus. Only faith in him gives you life. He is the answer. He is the answer to our problem, amen? Houston, we have a problem. The answer is Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. We have a problem. The answer is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, you can receive him by faith right now, just to pray and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me new. Use me and teach me and guide me in all your ways. And if you believe that, if you sincerely believe he died for your sins and rose again, he, in that instant, will give you spiritual life. That's what God desires. God desires a relationship with you. God isn't the God of an old covenant. He's not a God of performance-based. He's not a God of law. He's a God of grace, amen? He wants a relationship with you. He wants to work in your life and guide you and be your father, amen? That's what he wants. Houston, we have a problem. The answer is faith in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to read these chapters. I encourage you to pray and think about this and ask him to take over, because he will take over and he will make miraculous changes to your life. And you will have one really cool thing. You will no longer be in bondage to sin. The penalty of sin will be broken and the power of sin will be broken. Amen? That's a big amen. So I'm going to close this in prayer. And my wife is going to sing the last song. Bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for scriptures. Born into this world, not righteous, none not righteous, not even one, Paul says, chapter 3. I thank you, Lord, that you give us the answer. That's faith in Jesus Christ. When we do that, we become righteous, we become right, we become perfect in your eyes, we become approved. And I pray, Lord, for those that think and rationalize and compare themselves to the sins of others, to realize in comparison to you, they can never, never measure up. You are the way. You provide the way in Christ. I pray, Lord, that many would hear this message this morning on Facebook, on social media, and in here today, and receive you as their Savior. Draw them by your Spirit Thank you for the scriptures. In Jesus' name.